If this is your first time joining the Selling Podcast, we welcome you. This is going to be something a little bit different, though. This is going to be a two-part series. In this week's episode, we talk about the first eight steps in negotiation. Sales negotiation is one of my favorite pieces in all of sales. But this is a little bit different than most because I look at sales negotiation a little bit differently. And in this week's episode, Mike and I dive into what I actually mean when I talk about sales negotiation and how I actually do it.
How to negotiate.
Well, okay. All right. I want to hear your theories first.
Because I think there is never a bad time to negotiate.
I disagree.
On this week's episode of the Selling Podcast, we talk about negotiating strategies. This is going to be a step-by-step program on how to negotiate.
All right, we're recording.
With over 50 years and millions of worldwide traveled miles between the two of us, we have tasted defeat and relished in sweet, sweet victory. Looking for inspirational entertainment, motivation, and practical insights to drive your business? Welcome to the Selling Podcast.
So I'm thinking about what you said. There's never a bad time to negotiate?
Correct. I don't think there's ever a bad time to negotiate.
What if, and I'm going to throw this out there, and this is maybe not what you're thinking, what if you walk in to negotiate and the person across the table from you just had their mother or father pass away?
Great question.
Or they had a big fight with their wife, they're getting divorced, their husband.
Yep, we'll talk about that. All right. So what you're talking about is more of a, hey, is there a point when negotiating needs to stop?
In a situation.
Yep.
Situation. You're saying...
I'm saying negotiate everything in your life. You can negotiate everything. I'll give you a great for example. My wife went into a department store. Okay? She saw...
You're using words like never and everything.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking there are exceptions. But okay.
No, never an exception. She walks into a department store. She sees a foosball table. And it's a high-end, nice foosball table, but it's on clearance. And so she gives me a call and she says, hey, I'm looking at this foosball table. I think it was like, I want to say it was like $600-$700 down from a few thousand.
Yeah.
And so she gives me a telephone call and she says, well, what do you think? And I said, it's definitely out of the price range. So ask somebody if this is the best price or if they can give you a further discount. And she says, I am not doing that in a department store. I said, well, then the answer is no. Like, no, it's not what we want right now. And she says, are you serious? And I said, yep. She says, fine, I'll go ask somebody. So she calls over somebody and she says, hey, can I get an additional discount on this? Like, is this the best we can do for this product? And the person said, I don't know, let me go check my manager. And he comes back and he says, tell you what, manager says we want to get rid of it. Give it to you for $100. Will that work? And my wife's like, that'll work. So load it in the car and off we go. Never a bad time to negotiate. Never. Ever.
Okay. All right.
I was at a hospital recently and I was talking to somebody who received a bill. I said, you definitely should call up and negotiate that bill.
Oh, absolutely.
They said, wait, what? And I said, yeah, the hospital always asks for a discount. From a hospital? Absolutely.
Sure. Now, there's a difference. I'm thinking negotiation, you're talking about asking for an extended discount.
Correct.
Are they the same thing?
Yes.
Because I'm thinking when you're negotiating, you're talking terms, conditions, where we're negotiating back and forth for a purchase.
Mm-hmm.
But you're talking about just going in saying, you're haggling. You're not negotiating. I want a different price.
It's the same thing.
Haggling,
absolutely it is. Haggling and negotiating, the exact same thing. One's small scale and one potentially is a larger scale.
Okay. So you're saying there's never a bad time. Now, we're just going to assume that we're talking just in the business sense, the business realm, right?
No, in I'm sales. Talking... No, I.
Oh,
no.
You want to talk about everything.
Yeah, I haggled with my wife about, before we were even married, about roles and responsibilities.
Apparently, she's a better negotiator than
you. 100% she is.
And but here's the deal, Scott. If you're only, if you're negotiating everything, how do you feel as a provider of a service when the customer comes to you with some unreasonable negotiation?
Ooh,
do they?
That, because that brings up that brings up as we start our step by step how to do it and what to do, because what you're thinking about in that question you asked is that I'm coming in guns blazing, you know, just the lowest offer possible, and that's it, and walking away.
Isn't that the starting point of every negotiation? You want the most, I want the least, and we meet somewhere in the middle.
The first step that I have is...
All right. Do I need to write these down?
Well, you probably should. These are really good. Like, I've also posted them on LinkedIn, and so you can find them on LinkedIn.
That would require me to use a computer.
I know. So okay. Write them down. First one, be fair. There's never a good time to take unfair advantage of a negotiating situation.
Well, that just makes you a poor individual, a poor human. If you're going to take advantage.
Maybe
that's the wrong way to put it.
But to your point, you know, if somebody walks in and is just looking to totally dominate the situation, then yeah, that's unfair.
Well, take advantage of the situation, right?
Correct.
If I had a flat tire on the way to work and I pull in and I have to be at work, I pull into a tire repair stop, it's unfair of me to charge you more for a new tire just based on the circumstance.
Correct.
And now, that really makes you kind of a scuzzy human.
100% correct. It's okay to have large discrepancies in price. Like if you want to sell something for something and I want to buy it for a lot lower price, there's not a problem in the discrepancy. Where it becomes really, as you say, scuzzy, like that icky feeling is when people aren't being fair. And if you're not being fair, then it feels really uncomfortable and it's wrong.
Well, and there's the other side of that. We had the conversation last week or a couple weeks ago in your services about seeing the value. Mm-hmm. And if I, as a customer, I'm negotiating with you as a potential advisor, and I don't see the value in what you're doing, to me, it just looks like you're just jacking up the price.
Exactly correct. Which goes to my next point.
So who's unfair there?
Who's unfair in...
If I don't see the value... Who's unfair? Am I the unfair person or are you the unfair person?
Point number two. No, because this is going to answer it. You will not offend. I put too often we feel that offering a low price will offend an individual. Remember what you're offering is what you feel comfortable to pay. If you can't get the price down low enough, you need to consider if you're paying fair market value or not. So when you say who's not being fair, the reality is if I feel comfortable buying your house at this price, then great, I'm going to offer the price. But if I feel like here's a fair, good price, something I feel totally comfortable paying, but then I say, hey, I want to try to take advantage of you and I want to drop it by $200,000, like then we're not fair. If you give a fair price of something, hey, no, like this is, I'm comfortable paying this. Sure, it might be lower than what you suggest, but this is where I'm comfortable. Like, throw it out there. You're not going to offend them. They're not going to offend you.
Okay. All right. I'll go with that.
Next one. I love, in any type of negotiation, big or small, asking or saying, I want you to make money. And so during these long negotiations where there's a concern about the price, you know, I'll often say, hey, you need this to make money for yourself as well. So are you still making money?
Which is showing your generous side, your considerations, and your fairness. Okay.
I'm always impressed, kind of surprised when I do this. I'm waiting for somebody to say, oh no, I'm losing money. But when I've done this, and usually I'll throw this out when it's a heated negotiation. You know, when it's been going on back and forth some time and I know that I'm getting a really good deal and they're just humming and hawing, I'm curious to see, is it a tactic of theirs that they're humming and hawing, or like, is it legit? And so that's when I throw out, hey, I need to make sure that you're making money off this deal. And I'm surprised when they say, oh, no, I'm making money. I'm good. I'm just looking at this price.
Yeah. And I've had this kind of conversation with, you know, everybody's favorite negotiation, buying a car,
mm-hmm.
right? And the sales manager, it gets involved, and you've got the rep and the manager and the owner yep. of the company. And they'll say, well, we need to make money. And my response is, really? You're telling me you're not going to make money if I sell you it at this price, or if I buy it at this price? That's ludicrous. We wouldn't be even discussing it if you're going to lose money. Now, you might not be making the margins you want, but you're not losing money.
I love asking the question to that point, you know, are you making money off this deal? You know, I want to make sure. And it's a genuine interest of, hey, they're putting in time and effort. Like,
sure.
Make sure that they're making money, because if they're not making money, then they're going to feel like they never want to do business with you ever again. So they need sure. to feel like they're making money. So ask them the question, are you making money off this deal? Ready for the next one?
Okay. Next one.
Okay. I think too often, I know I do, but I think too often we ask for the price too early in the negotiation. So we need to make sure that
when do you ask?
Well, too often it's from the get-go. And let me use like a flea market as a small example, because we get that.
Okay.
Go to a flea market, we say something we like, and what's the first question after we look at it is,
How
much is that? Okay. If you're looking to negotiate, bad strategy. Do not start with, hey, how much of that? You see something you like, you begin by, hey, tell me about it. You know, what are the features and benefits? You know, let them convey to you what it is. Because if you start in automatically with how much is that, now it's a price conversation right from the get-go. They're going to feel like, well, you don't understand what it does. Like, we need to, you know, let them explain everything before you ask for the price.
So wouldn't it be nice if all your customers ask that question? But what's the bottom line is they want to know, how much do I have to put out for this?
Yeah, but in most deals, they usually start by understanding features and benefits. Like,
oh, absolutely. Not in depth.
Correct. But when I walk in to somebody, I mean, my first interactions with somebody, they usually don't say, hey, how much is your service? It's more like, hey, well, tell me what you, like, I don't even know, what do you do? Mm-hmm. And so most high level things, we start by talking that, you know, speaking about, you know, what you do, what you don't do, and then price comes in later. But all too often, we start just with price right from the get-go.
So as a tactic, don't yep. ask price at the beginning. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, for example, if I'm going to go, which I'm not, I'd love to, but if I'm going to go in and negotiate a car, you know, before the end of the year, I know what the car prices are. Like, I can look them up. So if you're doing your homework, look up the car prices, go in, and then if you see a car you like, let's talk about features and benefits, you know, and then talk about the price.
Mm-hmm.
Because people, if I'm trying to sell you a car, I want you to know exactly how much it costs right from the get-go. Now, I've also cut off salespeople when I'm trying to buy something and they say, hey, I need to tell you the price. No, don't tell me the price yet. I'm just looking at it. Because they're anxious to get the price out there. So it's really fun when you pull them off and just say, no, I don't want the price yet. Tell me, does it do this? Does it do that? You know, and it throws them off their routine, and I think it's a lot of fun. So you should absolutely try it. It's hilarious.
I'm going to try that. That's awesome. All right. The next one.
Next one, weirdly enough, eye contact. If you're fair, then kindly look the seller in the eyes. So it encourages a human element to the negotiation that is quickly lost if you don't hold eye contact.
Now look them in the eyes or hold eye contact.
I would say hold eye. Well, so I struggle with this one because I'm not having a staring contest.
A little bit creepy if you do. Yeah, it's a little bit creepy. Yeah,
the first one who blinks gets 50% off. No, but you do want to, if you're fair and genuine, like you'll create that human connection. And I don't know how else to say it other than that human connection, but it's when we click as humans and we understand
the conversational skills.
Correct.
I mean, only 10% of our conversation is verbal. So they're mm-hmm. picking up all the cues, your body language, eye contact is a huge part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the trustworthiness. And what was the research somebody quoted to us that they can tell within 8 seconds whether or not they trust you or like you?
That is not, that's just crazy.
That's crazy, so but that's accurate. Yeah.
So that's why, you know, holding,
all right.
holding
eye contact, I like that one.
Like really try but I think to that's, connect.
Yeah. I think that's important in all communication, not just negotiation, but okay. I like that one. Next.
I mean, what should we do? I mean, I'm just trying to think of the best way to phrase it. It's like hugging somebody with your eyes. Like it'd be super awkward if you went up to hug somebody in a conversation as you're negotiating, but you know, and it's not, it's just that kindly looking at them, trying to create this bond and not a creepy bond by any means, just a normal human to human bond.
But I think sometimes we think negotiation, we equate it with adversarial. So there has to be, you know, this animosity almost between two negotiators, which is not the case. I mean, negotiation as you're seeing it and we talk about it is simply just coming to an agreement.
Yeah.
It's making sure that you get a fair deal, the other guy gets a fair deal, and both your needs are met. It's not any kind of...
My wife hates negotiating, and I've met several people who just hate negotiating. And to your point, I think they hate the contention that they feel when it's one person against another. And I love negotiating. Like, have
because
no
you don't look at it as contention.
Not at all. Not at all. It's just like, hey, here's the price that I feel comfortable paying. And if we can get there, great. And if we can't, no worries. It's just fine.
Which I think is the key to every negotiation. Every negotiation. You have to come at it from a position of, I can walk away.
Yeah.
Like, it's like dating. What's my favorite word in dating? Next.
Okay.
All right.
Let me keep going because I'm gonna get to what we were talking about as well. Silence. Good negotiating requires thinking. Allow all individuals time to think and assess the situation.
Okay.
So I think so on this part, many times, if we get a skilled negotiator on one side, they just keep going and going and going. And you feel beaten down. But there's only so many times you can say, hey, is this the best you can do?
But that's, again, a strategy. And silence is part of that strategy. Silence is also an effective means of communication.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the person's attuned to what's going on the other side of the table, they'll recognize that, wait a minute, you're not saying anything. You're not engaging. There's an issue.
And dominating the conversation doesn't, that's an antagonistic approach to negotiating.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need to dominate a conversation in negotiating. So when you do, I guess, you know, used car salesmen get a rap, or just car salesmen in general. They are most, and you see the industry changing so much, they're so good and so polite now. Because they're developing longer relationships because they see the need for it. So it's dramatically changed. But, you know, the stigma comes from years ago when it was, hey, let's just overpower you. You know, let's just keep talking, keep going. Let's bring out a manager once I get tired and manager can keep talking. It's
Craig Weber with Conversational Capacity does a lot of this. He always talks about finding the sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really good for negotiation because you don't want to come at it from the the point of I know it all or you're not going to persuade me. But he talks about remaining curious and candid. And I think that's exactly what you're talking about.
Interesting. My next point, a friendly touch. Okay, like a physical friendly touch. When I'm negotiating with somebody, what I'll like to do is, you know, make them laugh somehow, and I'll either touch them on the shoulder or on the forearm. Mm-hmm. You know, because it allows me to come in nice and close. You know, it's a friendly, it's like, hey, we're in this together.
There was a study, I remember, this is years and years and years ago, of waitresses in a restaurant. They said if they would touch the patron on the shoulder, their tips went up.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's an old popular study, but I always smile when I have a waiter do it to me. It just makes
that's
me
smile. Great.
I know what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. That is pretty funny. Yeah. I just, that personal touch adds so much to the negotiation. Mm-hmm. It creates this friendly term. Now, with that being stated, and something that's not on my list here is when you're negotiating, it shouldn't be face-to-face. It should be side-to-side. So, for example, if I'm negotiating, like I negotiated one time for some teacups in a foreign country, and she was, as they normally do, you hand it and then you receive it. And when I received it, I'm standing in front and we're talking about it. But then what I quickly did is I put it, so it's a triangle. So it's me, the individual, and then the good or the or the product. And so
it's you're both of you looking at something else.
Exactly.
And changes I'll talk about perspective.
Exactly. I'll talk about that in just a second as we talk about creating a third party. But the reality here is, yeah, if you can get on the same side. So as I'm doing presentations with clients, I want the client sitting next to me and we're looking at the same screen. You know, when we're taking a look at negotiating for cars, for example, they typically have a front and somebody on the other side of the desk. I don't think that that's a good way to do it. When you're negotiating, try to get on the same side. Use a pamphlet or something so you show it to them and say, hey, let's both read from the same pamphlet. And so that way you're shoulder to shoulder rather than face to face.
Which I think is not only good in just negotiation. It's, again, good in communication.
Correct.
Because that way you're partnered and you're talking about the third party or the object, not making it confrontational. Okay?
And unfortunately, this is where we are going to have to leave this week's episode. So as you see, we've gone through the first several steps of the sales negotiation. I love negotiating. And as you see, it's a little bit different. Most times people, as Mike was thinking, it's a win-win or a lose-lose that somebody has to walk away the victor. But you see, sales negotiation is actually something a little bit different. What you're doing is you're walking in with the idea of how much you are willing to pay, what value it has for you. And if you're sincere, you're not going to offend. And then from there are some steps and some tools to be able to help maximize the negotiation. But don't be afraid of it. Lean into it. Now, until next week, we'll rejoin in with some other discussions of the rest of the steps for sales and how it can help improve your selling style. Thanks so much. See you next week.